In this talk today, we are going to answer a question asked by one of our listeners. Can Buddhists pray to gods? There are three concepts and practices that we need to understand clearly. Going for refuge, praying to gods for mundane favors, and respecting those gods who are worthy to be respected. We need to understand the differences between these three concepts and their practices. Then only we can have right understanding on this particular topic. First of all, let's understand what it means to go for three refuge. What makes one to be a true Buddhist? There are two important factors here. When one goes for three refuge and start following the Noble Eightfold Path, that person can be rightly called a true Buddhist. No one is a Buddhist by label or by birth, but by practice. When someone says, Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, I go to the Buddha for refuge, it means wholeheartedly I accept the Buddha as my supremely enlightened teacher, as my guide. When someone say Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, that means I accept the teachings of the Buddha as my guiding principles to shape up my life, my character, in order to transform myself to become a noble human being. When someone says, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, I go to the refuge of the noble community of the Sangha. I follow their footsteps. I emulate them. So these are the noble disciples who are completely free from all the defilements and attain perfect enlightenment. So act of going for three refuge is to be done by oneself, not out of blind faith, but with confidence, with understanding. We come across in many suttas people, after convincing themselves to the teachings of the Buddha, they confidently acknowledge the act of going for three refuge. For example, in Aggika Bharadvaja Sutta, you may come across this Brahmin at beginning scold the Buddha, saying that you are an outcast. But the Buddha explained to him with compassion and kindness what make an outcast and what qualities can lead someone to be an outcast. At the end of the sermon, this man convinced himself that the Buddha's teaching is the right teaching for him, and he bowed down worshipped the Buddha and said, from today onward, I go to the Buddha for refuge, to the Dhamma for refuge, and to the Sangha for refuge. Please remember me as a lay follower who has gone for refuge for life. So we can see these kind of statements again and again in the suttas. So this is what we call going for refuge. For someone who goes for refuge, there cannot be any other spiritual teacher that he may accept as his supremely enlightened one other than the Buddha. Such a Buddhist to accept the Triple Gems wholeheartedly will dedicate to follow the Noble Eightfold Path. Now, why do we as Buddhists follow the Buddha's teachings? There are three important goals that we can achieve by following the Buddha's teachings. First goal is Ditta Dhamma Sukha Hita. The Buddha teaches the Dhamma for us to achieve well-being and happiness in this life itself. In these particular aspects, the Buddha encouraged his lay disciples to achieve both material and spiritual wealth. We need to have both aspects if we were to live a contented life, a happy human life. So Buddha has given many sermons, many discourses explaining how we can achieve both material and spiritual wealth and live a decent human life as joyful human beings. These teachings collectively known as the Buddhist social philosophy. So these are the teachings that related to Buddhist political thoughts, economic concepts, educational, social, and ethical aspects of the human life. So these teachings, in fact, help us to grow as wholesome human beings in the society, as individuals, as well as entire community, entire society. However, this aspect of the human life still is to be achieved by following the Noble Eightfold Path. So Buddha's social philosophy, which covers these areas, still fall within the Four Noble Truths. In this aspect, Buddha still tries to reduce the human sufferings by encouraging his disciples to develop compassion, goodwill, tolerance, understanding, and ethical conduct, and achieving the material and spiritual success within the Noble Eightfold Path. Buddha never says that in order to achieve economic prosperity or any other material gain that we need to pray to the gods. That has to be emphasized. Once a young man came to the Buddha, Vyaggapajja. He said, "Venerable sir, I am a family man. I have a wife. I have children. I enjoy wealth. I enjoy sensual pleasure. Can you please teach me how I can achieve well-being and happiness in this life, as well as how can I be born in a favorable place after the death? At that moment, Buddha did not say, you must pray to this God or that God to achieve success. He did not say that by praying to this particular God, you can be born in the heaven. Instead, Buddha taught him four practical things that he need to cultivate. Some excellent qualities that leads to economic prosperity. So these teachings are related how one can work to achieve wealth, how one can manage one's own wealth. And eventually he also taught the virtues which are necessary for him to develop spiritually, and after the death, then he can be born in heaven or favorable realm. So in this particular sutta, Buddha pointed out 8 factors. 4 of them leads to well-being and happiness of this life. Another 4 leads to well-being and happiness of next life. So here Buddha never said that we can pray to the gods to achieve these things. There's another interesting discourse, Itta Sutta. Here, Buddha teach to millionaire Anathapindika. He says, long life, beauty, happiness, social status, and heavenly rebirths, these are wished for by everyone. Everyone likes to achieve them. And Buddha very clearly says, however, these cannot be achieved through prayers. And he further says, if these things can be achieved through prayers, who on earth will not achieve them? Then the Buddha explained further in the sutta, in order to achieve them, we have to have a practical approach. And he taught how to achieve them. So it's very clear that Dhamma is the way, the path to achieve both material success and spiritual success that leads to well-being and happiness in this life itself. This is one of the goals that we achieve by following the Dhamma. The second goal that we can achieve by following the Dhamma is known as Samparayika Sukahita, the well-being and happiness beyond the death. Buddhism recognizes the death is not the end. It will be the beginning of another life. We will be born again after the death. And there are 31 realms of existence. And out of these 31 realms, in fact, 27 are happy destination, heavenly realms. Buddhists can be born in these realms if they so wish, but provided they have necessary qualities again. So in these aspects also, Buddha never says that you can be born in the heaven by praying to the gods, but rather he says that you need to follow a practical method. And he recommend dana, sila, and bhavana. 3 types of meritorious action. Here, practicing charity for the well-being and happiness of the others out of great compassion and goodwill. Then observing righteous principles, having refrained from all evil and unwholesome activities, and dedicating oneself to develop a wholesome mind. By following these, we can achieve merits, wholesome karmic forces that will lead us to be born in heavenly realms. So this is another goal that we can achieve by following the Dhamma. And this also cannot be achieved by praying to the gods. So a Buddhist must understand this aspect as well. The third goal a Buddhist can achieve is known as paramatta sukhahita, ultimate well-being and happiness. This is the highest. This is the nibbanic bliss and happiness. Human beings are capable of achieving the highest bliss and happiness. In order to achieve this, we need to dedicate ourselves to train our ethical, spiritual, and intellectual faculties. So in this aspect, a follower will practice the noble path in highest sense. So he will dedicate to train himself to achieve adi sila sikha, train to achieve higher virtue. Adi citta sikha, train to achieve a higher mind, a developed mind. Adi panya sikha, to achieve higher wisdom. One who achieved the end goal of the Buddhist path, which is the Nibbana, is completely free from all the sufferings. He completely eradicate all the defilements, and he realize the Four Noble Truths here and now. Such a human being is an enlightened human being. So this is the highest goal that we can achieve by following the Buddha's teachings. Now, all these three goals are within the Four Noble Truths and are to be achieved by following the Noble Eightfold Path. And that must be emphasized. Now, a true Buddhist follower who take three refuge and follow the Noble Eightfold Path, for such a one, there's no any other refuge other than the Triple Gems. Because he sees it and he clearly understands it and he has confidence. And such a true Buddhist will confidently say, Natthi me saranang anyang, buddho me saranang varang. I do not have any other refuge other than the supremely enlightened one. Etena saccha vajjena sottite. Hotute jaya mangalang. By the power of these truthful words, may you be well and happy. He might say, Natthi me saranang anyang, dhammo me saranang varang, sangho me saranang varang. I do not have any other refuge other than the Dhamma, other than the supremely enlightened community of Sangha. So by the power of these truthful words, may you be well and happy. Such a Buddhist may be able to exercise his spiritual strength and power for the happiness of the others, and he will confidently follow the noble path. So this aspect is to be understood. So Buddha always encouraged his disciples, both monks and nuns as well as lay people, to become a light for themselves, to rely on the Dhamma. Atta dipa bhikkhave viharata, atta sarana ananya sarana. Be a light to yourself, depend on yourself, do not take refuge in external forces. Dhamma dipa bhikkhave viharata, dhamma sarana, ananya sarana. Depend on the Dhamma, follow the Dhamma. You can achieve all these three goals by following the Dhamma. You do not need external forces. So that is what the Buddha said. However, there might be occasions some Buddhists need some extra help. They may need some external forces. If a Buddhist wish to have such external help, you can do that. This is where we have bodhisattvas and Buddhists, gods, devas. Bodhisattvas are full of great compassion. They are always waiting to help you. The Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, Koning Bodhisattva, for example, The word Avalokiteshvara means looking at you from above with compassionate heart, always waiting to help you. So these are the great bodhisattvas and devas that the Buddhists will pray. But when we use the term pray, we must understand it within the Buddhist terminology. The word prayer does not mean for a Buddhist that he or she is asking negative karmic forces to be forgiven or taken away, or he or she is not asking these particular gods and bodhisattvas to take that person, take oneself into the heaven. Buddhists do not believe such things, and Buddhists do not have such practices. But here rather, Buddhists will ask the help from these gods and bodhisattvas. These gods and the bodhisattvas, we need to emphasize, they are the followers of the Buddha. They have gone for three refuge and they are following the Noble Eightfold Path. So they are suitable for us to seek the help, because when they help, they still will based on the Noble Path and will help us. And when we ask their help, we will not deviate from the Noble Path, but by following the Noble Path, we will still ask their help. So that's very important point to be mentioned here. That is why we emphasize that Buddhists in difficult situations, when they have calamities, miseries, and if they need some extra help, you can go to these gods and bodhisattvas and you can pray to them, ask their helps. Now, Buddha is known as Satta Deva Manusana, the teacher of gods and human beings. So Buddha has followers both in human realms and divine realms. So these gods who are in divine realms, who follow the path of the Buddha, is given a different label. They are known as Sammaditika Deva. The word Sammaditti, I believe that all of you have heard this term, the word Sammaditti means right understanding. So the right understanding is defined as understanding of the Four Noble Truths. So these are the devas who understand the Four Noble Truths. Some of these devas have realized the Four Noble Truths. So they are following the Noble Eightfold Path and they are the Buddhist gods. Sakka, the king of the god, is a stream enterer, Sotapanna. In Sakkapanha Sutta, the king of the god very proudly and joyfully exclaimed in front of the Buddha that he is an stream enterer. In Chula Tanha Sankhya Sutta also, he acknowledged that he is belongs to the community of the noble Sangha, means enlightened, but the first stage of the enlightenment. We also come across Sahampati Brahma, who invited the Buddha to teach the Dhamma. Immediately after the Buddha's enlightenment, he hesitated to teach because having noticed that Dhamma is so profound and deep and human beings might not understand, at that instant, the heavenly god, a Brahma called Sahampati, appeared in front of the Buddha and said, "Lord, please teach the Dhamma. There are those with little dusts in their eyes. They can see the path and follow." So this god is non-returner, anagami, living in Suddhavasa, in one of the highest plane of existence, heavenly realm. So these are the Buddhist gods. There are many other such Buddhist deities and gods. And if you were to refer to Sanyutta Nikaya, and there are a collection of suttas where specifically the address the certain questions asked by the deities. So you can ask the help from these deities. And not forgetting some of the Buddha's human followers, after the death, they are also reborn as gods. King Bimbisara, a great follower and supporter of the Buddha, after the death, was born in the heaven. He is a stream enterer, Sotapanna. And in Janavasabha Sutta, it explained immediately after the death, being born as a divine being, he came to the Buddha, appeared in front of the Buddha, and uttered a joyful utterances and saying, "I am the King Bimbisara, Janavasabha." So he explained that he wished to attain the second level of enlightenment, which is the once returning stage. Millionaire Anathapindika, who is also a great supporter of the Buddha and also a stream enterer, after the death was born in the heaven. Anathapindiko Vada Sutta, we can come across that he also appeared in front of the Buddha and expressed his happiness and joy, confidence in the Triple Gems. So these are the Buddhist gods. In Atanati Sutta, this is very interesting discourse. And four divinely kings, they got together and they come to agreement. And being united, they came to the Buddha and said, "The Lord, in the divine assemblies, there are also some divine beings who are not pleased with the Blessed Ones and His teachings. However, we are united and we have come to an agreement that if any hostile deity or any other unseen beings were to disturb a Dhamma practitioner, we will take some actions. We will boycott them in our meetings. We will not allow them to be in our kingdoms." And so they express their support to the Buddhist community. It's a very interesting discourse. I believe that some of you can read this discourse. So here we have the Buddhist devas, gods, bodhisattvas. When Buddhism is spread throughout Asia, we also adopted many other the divine beings, deities from different religions. We have divine beings adopted from Hinduism. And eventually when Buddhism is spread into China, and in China we adopted the gods from Taoism. And especially when we adopt the gods from the other religions, and these gods are depicted as Dhamma protectors. And in the Tao tradition, Guang Yu, the god who is the lord of war and fraternity, was adopted in Buddhist practices as a bodhisattva, Sangha Rama Bodhisattva. In fact, he observed five precepts, converted to be a Buddhist, and he is recognized by the Mahayana Buddhists as someone who is protecting the Triple Gems. In a similar way, when Buddhism is spread into Japan, for example, they adopted kami gods or spirits in Shinto religions. When Buddhism is spread into Tibet, and born spirits, born gods were adopted into Buddhist teachings or Buddhist pantheons. In Myanmar, very famous Naths gods were adopted in Buddhist pantheon. In this way, when Buddhism is spread far and wide in Asia, throughout Asia, it assimilated peacefully amalgamated peacefully without any hostility, and these gods were adopted and enshrined in the same shrine where the Buddha and his great disciples exist together with these gods. But remember one thing, all these gods, all these bodhisattvas, they all have gone to three refuge and they are following the Noble Eightfold Path. So that has to be emphasized. So there's no any issue. You can pray to these gods and bodhisattvas when you need your help. However, when we want to attain enlightenment, we follow the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, and we understand these gods and bodhisattvas, and they also have to follow the same path like ourselves. Now, we have come to the third aspect of the talk. As Buddhists, can we pay respect to non-Buddhist gods? As long as any god dedicated for compassion, loving kindness, if any god encourage goodwill, friendship, you can bow down to that god. Beyond the religious label, beyond the colors and shapes, you can bow down. These gods are worthy to be respected. However, if any god were to encourage violence, bloodshed, if any god were to encourage human sacrifices or animal sacrifices, if any god encourage war or divisions, we do not have to bow down to such a god. So being a Buddhist, you need to understand your principles. If any god is standing for unity, harmony, peace of the humankind, and you can bow down to that god is worthy to be respected. But if any god creates suspicion, create division among the humankinds, and create conflict, such a god does not deserve the respect. When you understand the Dhamma, beyond the religious labels, beyond the colors, we will recognize the great, excellent qualities. Whether these qualities were upheld by human beings or divine beings, regardless the labels, we can bow down to them, respect them. That should be the attitude of a true Buddhist. That's what the Buddha said in Mangala Sutta. Pujacha pujaniyanam etang mangalam uttamam. Respecting those who are worthy to be respected is a great blessing. Okay, I think this much is enough as a talk. If you have got any questions, we can spend some time.